Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everybody, welcome to the Ken Baker's Psychic Hour. Today we're continuing our discussion on exit and entry problems in the astral realm and taking your calls for readings. Our caller number is 914-338-0164, and we ask that our callers press 1 so we know that they would like to speak with us. Callers and listeners, we invite you to follow us on Facebook and like our pages, especially if you're a caller that's a regular caller. It doesn't cost you anything. All you have to do is press a like button on Facebook, and that helps support the show. And we also offer content on those pages. So please find us there. Facebook, those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. And let's see what else. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further conversation. Don't email us, call the number if you'd like to speak further. All right, so we have a caller from 845 area code. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. How
Hello.
Are you? Hi.
Very well, thank you. Hi. This is Lucy.
Lucy, I was thinking about you just the other day.
Tell me.
I just, you crossed my mind, and I was thinking about the fact that we hadn't heard from you for a while, and anyway, I thought about you probably on Wednesday when we did our last show, so.
You're doing shows on Wednesday, too?
We always do shows Wednesday, Friday.
Oh, yeah,
except,
always
you know
Friday.
What, it was probably Tuesday, because we did a show Tuesday of last week, so I was probably thinking about you on Tuesday. We change our schedule periodically, but anyway, normally it's Wednesday and Friday. She's an 8, but give us your birth date again, Lucy.
I was born in 1016. You want the year?
Yes, please.
1962? 62, yeah.
62 or 52?
62.
62?
1016, 62.
101562.
No, 1016.
Oh,
1016, 1662.
Sometimes it's hard to hear. So, okay, 1016, 62. And she's an 826-8, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting. I mean, we've talked about your number system a lot, Lucy, on the show, but your 62 is actually on your in your year, 62, or the 26 rather, inverted. Your karmic number is inverted on in the year, and it's also in your month and day. Those two ones are a 2 and 6, so that's 26.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of an interesting arrangement of energy. But what's your question today?
In 1962. I have so many questions.
Okay.
Okay. Anything that you want to tell me, what you were thinking about me, tell me. And
well,
then,
there was nothing. I wouldn't say there was anything psychic that I was, you know, picking up necessarily. It's just that probably I was picking up that you were going to call, but there wasn't anything. I just was wondering how you were doing, thinking about, you know, your son, and the situation with your son, which I know has been somewhat challenging for you, but how's everything going with him?
Well, he moved back to New York. He stayed with me for a while.
Uh-huh.
Now he moved back from California to New to my house, to my home. Then he was here for a while. I say, don't worry about it. Just chill out. Stay here. Just don't worry about stress about anything. Just leave. You don't need to do anything. Just leave and do whatever you want. And then after like 4 or 5 months, I say, okay, buddy, now it's time to go to the gym. And he started going to the gym. And then I got him to change his place from California place to New York place. Then I say, okay, buddy, now it's time to start doing something else. Then he say, no, but I want to play games. I say, well, it's already 6 months. And then I don't mind if you play games, because he wanted to be a professional game player.
Oh,
they
you
make
you mean
good
like
money.
Gambling?
No, a professional game player is games. There's games that
like
the kids play, you know?
Like video games?
The video games, oh, yeah.
Video games?
Video games, yeah, to be a professional. He's an engineer.
About that world, I didn't know you could be a professional video game player. Did
yeah,
you?
They make good money. They can make $70 to $1 million a year. Yeah, but he's an engineer, and he say, "Oh, I am too late in the game." I say, "Nobody's late into any game, you know." But then you just cannot put all your eggs in one basket.
Okay.
And he say, "Okay, give me another year," and I say, "Take your time, but start doing something else." Then he say, "Okay, I'm gonna look for a girlfriend." I say, "Wait a minute." Then he kind of start dating. I say, well, if you're going to date, then start looking also for a job, for another career besides being a game player, because a video game player, because that takes a chunk of your life. They have to be in the computer 10, 12 hours a day. Then he started applying for jobs, and he found a job. Not a job, but a career. And now he moved to New York City. He found a girlfriend, but the girlfriend went away.
Oh.
Because she is from another country.
But the good news is that you were concerned about your relationship with him, and ultimately he stayed with you between his transition to,
thanks God,
you know,
yeah,
California, to a new place of his own. So that sounds like it's resolved. What's your question today specifically?
My question for me specifically today, I was thinking about you guys. I said, I'm going to give you a call to see how my life is going. It's like I'm here doing the same job. I know it's going to be a big change at work because we're running out of inventory, and I am an auditor, and all of a sudden they hire some people from India.
Oh.
I say, well, God, maybe it's my break for me to get laid off, you know, or do something about it.
She's an auditor.
Now the new boss is saying, oh, guys, you got to go to the website and learn something different and start applying for new jobs to see what you like and start training yourself to a new positions.
So you're concerned about your job security, and you had applied for a job, I remember, in the past, but you didn't get it with, it was like loss prevention or something like that.
Yeah, I never got that one. He was looking that I will have it, but then it never happened.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't really want it. I like what I do, but I know like if they lay me off, will be a beautiful excuse for me to get out of here. Start traveling and just living, like, you know, I got an excuse.
Do you have the funds to be able to go travel and not work for a while?
Well, if you figure it out, you can find jobs everywhere and live with the whatever. I don't think that I am in the extreme, in both extremes, and in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in the middle, you know.
Well, you're going through a change right now at the age of 56, because your master number is 8, and it's your 7th cycle of your master number right now. So Lucy, do you plan on applying to other jobs in your area, or are you thinking about going traveling and applying where you stay for a while? Are you planning on staying anywhere long term? And 302, we're going to be getting to your call in just a moment, but go ahead, Lucy.
I don't think that I want another job or another anything. Don't want to do too much, you know. If I ever get a job, it will be in something simple that I don't have to use my brain so much. It's so much responsibility in what I do. Then you get punished for one in a thousand that you do right, you know. It's like,
Lucy, how long have you worked at this position? How long have you been there?
20 years plus.
20 years plus? Do you have to, are you comfortable with still remaining there for a while?
Say again, please. I couldn't hear you.
Can you stay there for a while and work there? Are you okay with that idea?
I am okay with the idea. They, I don't know if they're going to start changing things. I'll listen to you.
Well, I would, if I were you, stay put right now. You've been there 20 years. Your master number is 8. Your next cycle is going to be at the 24-year mark there. So I wouldn't do it. I would just stay put right now. You could be there, believe it or not, another 4 years until you're 60. So right now I would kind of stay put and just maintain your job. The theory is that you could be there another 4 years. I'm not going to say positively, but you could be, because your master number is 8, and even though you're on a multiple of 8 now from the day you were born, you've only been working there 20 years. Well, 8 doesn't go into 20. 8 goes into 24. So you may have to be there another 4 years. No guarantee, but I would just stay put right now. Don't make any drastic changes. And you're always welcome to call back the show and ask other questions. But according to your position right now, I would think about staying and just settle in.
And okay, you don't see any layoffs? Because I can feel the layoffs coming, but I don't think that it's going to be me, because I do a lot of work. I do a work for two people.
Lucy, maybe it's you, but I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, it's not me.
I could be wrong.
I don't think that is me. Yeah, I don't think that is me, but I think there are too many people for the team that we have now, and I think they're going to kind of cut them. But I don't think that is going to be me.
Yeah, they may cut things, but our hope is that you remain. Even if they cut things, you're going to remain in your job, and
I think so.
Maybe things, there'll be some changes. But right now, I would just stay put.
Maybe you can do some traveling, you know, on your off time when you're on vacation, so you can have that sense of escape without leaving the job itself.
Yeah. So let's expect you're going to stay, and if there's any changes, let us know.
We're going to bring on our next caller, Lucy, but
thank you so much. I love you.
Oh, thank you. Bye. We love you too. And join us on Facebook. I don't think Lucy has. It would be great.
I did. Yeah.
You are?
I think so.
I don't think so.
Let me see.
Message us, because sometimes people use different names, and there have been people that have joined us there and we're unaware that they're actually callers of the show because they use a different name. So message us so we can, you know who you are, see a picture of you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Lucy.
Yes. I think I had a friend. Yeah, I'm friend. I had a friend. We are friends. And then I'll message you.
Email me so we know who you are, because I didn't even know we were friends.
Oh, yeah, we are friends.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Send me a text on the Facebook. Thank you, Lucy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. 302. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi there. How are
you? Good. How are you?
Excellent. So I will admit right up front that I'm not very familiar with your show. You were actually, I was referred to you by a friend who is a raving fan of yours. And
oh.
She thought that you might be able to help. So.
Oh, really?
She said, why don't you call these people? Yeah.
Oh, wow. Great. What's your name?
My name is Jeff.
Jeff, hi. And where are you calling from?
I am currently in Buffalo, New York.
Okay. Is that where you live?
Right now, yes. I mean,
yes,
I've been here since October. So I have kind of a sordid, interesting history. I was living in Delaware, and I worked in state government for the state of Delaware for 11 years.
Okay.
And it was a good job. It was actually a great job, but it didn't really feed my soul. It didn't satisfy my aspirations. So I quit my job and with the idea of becoming a freelancer, which worked really well for about 6 months. And then the income stream started drying up and, you know, savings followed. And I had been traveling overseas. I spent about 9 months traveling overseas.
And was
then,
that, did you work during that time or were you just traveling?
I was doing freelance work during most
so
of that
So you were
time.
Doing freelance. Okay.
Yeah. For clients in the U.S., but, you know, and most of them didn't even know that I was overseas.
It's easy with modern technology, it's, you know, you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was my thinking. So when the freelance gig started drying up, I came back to the U.S., and I still own a house in Delaware, and I had some, kind of extraordinary expenses with that. So I decided that, you know, to go back to taking, you know, a real job. And over the last 9 months now, since July of last year, I have had a really frustrating time. I have applied, I actually looked this up a few weeks ago. I have applied to a little over 850 postings, and I've had a couple dozen, two, maybe three dozen interviews, and exactly one job offer, which is at a place I'm currently working at, but I'm, you know, severely underemployed.
So you're not salary wise, and your position is not up to the standard that you're used to.
Well, not even that. I mean, it's minimum wage part-time hours. You know, I'm working 15 to 25 hours a week, generally right about 18 hours a week.
So it is that. I mean, you're getting way less than you normally are used to, and you're getting less hours. Is the position that you're working in the same vein as your normal work,
no,
or is it different?
When I was with the state, I did computer network administration. When I left there to do freelancing, I was doing marketing, copywriting, graphic design, and marketing strategy, which was a lot more personally satisfying. Right now, I am working in a pharmacy.
Oh, boy. Pharmacy, like a clerk?
Or yes.
What do you do? Okay. And what?
I
thought pharmacy techs, they have to have a license. They allow, do you not? Isn't,
well, it varies by state.
Yeah, I was going to say, by state it's different. So
yeah. Right.
Apparently
so
in your
York,
state, you don't have to have that.
Right. In New York, you need a license to be a pharmacist, but not a pharmacy tech. But, I do dispense medicines. I mean, I have access to all the drugs, basically I'm a cashier with access to drugs, really. It's kind of what it boils down to.
Jeff, can we get your birth date, please?
6/24/67.
24/67, 4/5/6,
12, 3. I have 3 and 5 written down, so let's see what this adds up to.
35,
8. 30. Look. So I wrote down your karmic number before you gave us your birth date. I wrote down a 3 and a 5, and your karmic number is 35. So just real quick, Jeff, going backwards for a moment, what happened at the age of 35? Can you remember?
Ooh,
there should have been some kind of date.
Yeah, I'm trying to think when that would have been.
It would have been 1984. 1984 to 85, because you're born in the middle.
No, no.
What?
No.
Wait.
No, because I was 18.
I'm sorry, 2002. I'm making you. I don't know what I did. 2002. That erased. Rewind. 2002.
Right.
There would have been a change.
So I was working in banking then.
I wrote down, see, I thought there was something to do with finance with your job, but you didn't say that. But you did work in finance.
Well, I did. I worked for 16 years in banking, and
that's
then I left banking. Yeah, I left that to go into state government and worked there for 11 years.
11
so,
years. Which is not a multiple. So you were working in banking then.
Yes.
What were you doing? Were you doing in state government, Jeff?
He said computer.
Computer.
Network.
And that was
I was a computer network administrator.
Well, you know, when we deal with we deal with two things on our show. We deal with psychic energy, of course, which is like raw readings, being psychic, and then we deal with a very sophisticated method of numerology. Your master number is an 8, which designates a very high power of energy. Now, that also includes making money. So your master number is good. But if we notice on your linear board, and you can appreciate this because you're into numbers too a little bit, your linear board of your birth date, all of the numbers are shy of an 8. You have forget about the century. You have a 6, 2, 4, 6, 7. It's shy of an 8, and you've got, I mean, your 6 and 2 adds up to an 8. Well, that's good, but you're really shy of this energy. So what you've done, since you're calling a psychic show, is on a karmic interpretation, you're like one lifetime behind the one you should be in. So imagine, it's like waking up, it's a twilight zone. You should be in the 8th grade, and you're finding yourself in the 7th. And you're not finding your place, so you're swimming around doing all these diverse things and not really finding the pure satisfaction in your soul work that you really want to do. You found some satisfaction in your soul work by working one-on-one, marketing for people, having insight. You have a very nice voice. You seem to care about people. You probably take pleasure in helping people. And you want to have a more intimate connection with people. So marketing, copywriting, all of this involves, you're kind of like a guide. And what you want to be is like a person, in a way, kind of like a personal guide and make money and be happy. But doing so in a way to where you can creatively expand your mind in such a way that you're helping others map out their lives. Now, am I hitting anything or am I way off?
No, actually, you're hitting it pretty consistently. I think that nails it on almost every count.
Okay, so Jeff, so we've got the hammer and we've got the nail. And what's happening is, imagine the metaphor, you're hitting the nail on the side of the nail. You're not hitting it squarely. So you're going through all these jobs. You do have the hammer. You do have the nail. But for some reason, you're not getting into the center of what you want. So that's where we have to analyze where the problem is. So I'm going to ask you something. Now, let's go back for just a moment because we're really expanding this reading for you. But in your past, was there dissension in your family background? Some estrangement with parents, a brother, anything like that?
Yes and no. Nothing really acute. Like we've never been a close family. We don't have any kind of weird estrangement issues. I'm the oldest of four, so I have a brother and two sisters. And my youngest sister, I'm the only one who is still in contact with her. My brother and my other sister cut off contact with her because she's kind of the black sheep, though she has been trying to make good. But really, all of us, my mother died about 7 years ago. My father is still alive. But none of us really has any regular, consistent contact with one another. But there's, other than with my youngest sister, there's not really any animosity. Okay. It's just that we're simply not close in that way.
So you see, Jeff, that's the same theme as having the hammer and the nail, but not hitting it solid. You have a family, but the intimacy, the closeness, is not hitting the nail on the head. You're hitting the nail on the side. You have a somewhat of a distant family connections. You see what I'm saying? The mm-hmm. metaphor continuing.
Yeah.
You're intelligent. You get what I'm saying. So that's why we went back there to investigate where the karma started. The actual energy of your life started, karmically speaking, in your family, which is that everybody's together, four, which is the balance chakra, but they're not really close. So you're getting jobs, but it's not really close to your passion, even though you did for a time experience that. So the process here would be to try to figure out how to get yourself centered so that you can do exactly what you want to do, make money, and enjoy that, quote, freelancing experience where you're guiding others. Now, that is a little bit more intricate and complex, but I believe, from at least this angle, that it's possible to get back in there and to do your thing.
Right. I was going to say, considering this has been your history, that you had clients, why can't you start picking up clients while you're at least working at this pharmacy job? And then start building from that point. So you have something secure, you're not working as much as you'd like, but then that gives you more time to develop your freelance work.
Right, and I have actually been working in earnest towards that, and I've actually set my sights rather high, just something that I've been doing. One of the things that I really like focusing on is the travel and hospitality industry, just because I like travel in general. And so it was a conscious, a prolonged conscious effort on my part. I have a lot of connections with people who work at the ministries of tourism for countries, cities, states, and provinces all around the world. So I've been reaching out to them, trying to forge more closer professional relationships.
Okay, so here's the rough draft in pencil prediction. I think by June you're going to land something. Now I'm using a pencil, not a pen, but it's a psychic pencil. So it's not a pen yet. So
right.
Land a job by June. Now could you survive on $60,000 a year?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so that's what I'm seeing. What is your peak salary in your lifetime, if I may ask?
About $75,000.
Okay,
that's about what I was making when I quit my job. I was making about seven. I was making about $72,000 at my job plus a little on the side.
Okay, that's good. So we're basically, if I said 60 and you said 72, and we're just using those numbers as figures, that's a difference of 12. Now, when we go to your numerology,
624
adds up to 12. So in our method of numerology, that discovery is valid. Just trust us. That discovery is valid in terms of making of money, because you do have an 8 figure in your month and day. So the rough draft prediction is that by June, you could be landing a job which ultimately provides you with a $60,000 salary. I would look into the hospitality, travel situation. You're a man of varied interests and varied experiences. So you're jumping, even in this reading, you've been jumping everywhere with occupations. But I would focus on that. I would focus on that. It's only because you're, you know, this is because you're not finding the center of the nail. So you're swimming and just finding islands to survive on is what you're doing. But we're trying to get to the big island. And that might be the merchant.
Not Hawaii.
Yeah. And that might be the what we're looking at. So I would venture forth there, very assertive and aggressive. And on our expectation, if it's high and right, will be by June, April, May, June, you've landed something, and which ultimately leads you to $60,000 a year.
Yeah, keep us posted, Jeff, on how things progress.
Sure, absolutely.
And you can join us on our social media sites. We'd love it if you did. And we wish you luck.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Take care.
Good luck, Jeff.
Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Right now we have no one left. I mean, we can actually have a discussion.
Oh.
Unless anybody in the queue that does not have his or her hand raised would like a reading, we can get into our topic. So on the last show we were talking, you know, you were trying to get a lot into the last 3 minutes of the radio show, but you mentioned something that I was going to mention regarding problems. Rather than going into the astral realm, problems exiting and waking up, which typically for me is usually where I encounter more difficulties rather than the exiting the body and entering.
Yeah, I mean, we usually take account of going to sleep and waking up on a purely physical level. We work hard at trying to sleep. Some of us hit the pillow and we're asleep. Some of us have to struggle towards sleep. And then we wake up, and then we even have a physical element of trouble waking up, you know, getting out of bed. But as a species, we do not think of going to sleep and waking up in terms of moving from the astral realm to the physical realm or the physical realm to the astral realm. We don't take account of that, and it happens all the time. I mean, we think about dreams, and we might think about strange things that go on during sleep. But we really don't have a significant chapter of information about how to go to sleep and how to wake up in terms of the entry and exit of the astral body from the physical body.
Yeah, and there are things like sleep paralysis, which will manifest in the physical, that can be linked to astral problems.
Yeah, because that's right. But this stuff should be taught, really, in my mind. Because
in your mind?
They'll
teach it in your mind. It is, I think, already.
I don't think there's any room left with all the schizophrenic ideas I've got.
Yeah.
But the idea is that our bodies carry one thing. Our bodies are a host of all kinds of...
Parasites.
Information, health things, powers, no powers. But so when you think about that, okay, our bodies come with a lot of information, a lot of content. Well, so do our souls. So if our souls are heavy with karma, imagine the soul leaving the body with all that karma that has to go with the astral soul. And that can be provide for a rude entry into the astral realm because your body's already filled with past life stuff and you're encountering who knows what when as soon as you leave the body, as opposed to maybe having really great karma and your soul is really refreshed with a lot of good things. And when you leave the body, it's a whole different experience.
Right. You have more of an opportunity to learn in the astral realm, connect with higher entities, rather than entering karmic zones of past lives, which can be limiting.
Yeah. So how do you trace, when we're thinking about this, how do you trace your karma? Well, first of all, look at your life and separate it. How dense are your complications?
Right. And in identifying where the complications come from is a way to understand how the karma is, you know, segmented in your life. If you have problems in, you know, your home, family, relationships, your creativity, your communication, power, all these different areas, And oftentimes they're going to correspond to the code in your birth date.
To the code in your birth date and to the chakras in your body.
Chakras in your body, obviously.
So, you know, the chakras in your body can be have some account of karma, of course. So,
and that can manifest also, not only, you know, in the situations that are occurring in your life, but it can manifest in your body as karma.
Yeah,
physical
absolutely.
Karma, illness. And,
you know, the physical and the astral, they have to interplay because they work on the same stage, unfortunately or unfortunately, they work on the same stage. What's happening is your astral body, with all of the history of the past lives, is now tucked, goes inside your physical body with its own immediate situations that are going on. So you have two layers of energy. You have your immediate life you're going through, and that's compounded by your astral journeys in other lifetimes where you have collected karma, good and bad, that is significant enough to be part of the content of your astral body. So when you have these two encounters, you can have tremendous experiences in the astral realm. There are some people who have terrible physical karma, and the only release they have is in the astral realm. They go to sleep, they dream, they have pleasant dreams, and they have all kinds of strange experiences.
And you hear that with people that are abused, you know, children that will later as adults relay what happened when they were children. They were in horrible abuse situations, and then their only escape was sleep.
Their
you
only
know,
escape is sleep.
And then the interestingly, their astral experiences more.
The thing about abuse too.
Enlightening and rich than their regular lives.
The
Go
thing
ahead.
About abuse too is typically a lot of victims of abuse during the act of the abuse, they separate from their body.
Right, disassociation.
And they leave. They just go into a trance-like state. They don't want to be there. They're trapped. So their minds go to another place, and that can lead to all kinds of latter-day psychological problems, whether it's survival or some kind of skillful maneuvering, or it becomes problematic in the psyche and the psychological condition. Well, that's a different story. But somewhere in time, we all disassociate. And when we can take the general platform of disassociation as the process of sleep, we're disassociating from consciousness. We're disassociating from the waking state. Imagine a creature from another planet who doesn't know anything about sleep is observing human beings, and suddenly they see them laying down, typically at night, and becoming still, closing their eyes, and they're scratching their antennae, and they're going, what kind of creep is this? What are they doing? So we go into a state of sleep, which is already a built-in disassociation from the waking conscious state. But when we go into a state of sleep, we're not really sleeping. We're conscious, we're subconsciously alive, and we have dreams, and we have different experiences. Our whole body goes into a different state. In more lower forms of animals, they hibernate. They go into a cocoon. They go into a metamorphosis. Their heart rate becomes almost faint, almost non-distinct. We as human beings, everything changes in our sleep. That's why a lot of people die in their sleep. The heart just stops. And so, and then if we have a dream, then we're attached to the subterranean level of consciousness, and we're excited, we're amazed. And then, of course, when we're teenagers, we're having all kinds of moisture dreams, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But it's all...
Speak for yourself.
I said moisture as a euphemism. It's like saying, you know, I'm going to the restroom. No, it's still a pure act of energy within the body itself, and we have all kinds of experiences that we encounter.
Yeah, what you said reminded me of like succubus dreams, where you're in, you know, you encounter.
Succubus, yeah, that's another thing. I don't know why they don't call it the release room. I'm going, you know, why the restroom? They should just say the release
back
room.
On that.
You know, and, but anyways.
Bathroom.
Yeah.
Bathroom is a little bit more, I don't know.
Well, because it's hygiene and stuff to some sort.
Sure.
But, you know.
Term than restroom.
But the way we've contorted our language is somewhat, there's a corruption there of language,
mm-hmm.
bathroom. I'm going to take a bath. Oh, you're going to the toilet?
Well, it's a more polite way
of, to the bathroom.
It's a more polite way of, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's all euphemism. But
yeah.
Okay. So,
getting off topic here.
So what happens? We are constantly surrounded by astral energy. We've got guides, spirits, angels, ghosts, and who knows what else, orbs, energy fields, aura, the etheric elements. We have all these things going on around us that typically we can't see but for the third eye. I mean, even in the Bible, what do they say? The apostles' eyes were opened and they saw Christ in this other person's body. They saw Christ and they realized they were having communion with Christ. Their eyes were open. What would they widen their eyes? Did they make their eyes, they made their eyes bigger? No, their third eye widened. Their eye was opened. So there's this element of the third eye, which is a telescope, if you will, a microscope maybe, into the element of the astral realm, where the entry level into the astral field can be deciphered by a trained eye to where you can see exactly what you're going to enter when you when you leave your body at night.
So
in the astral
field. In that case of the apostles, I would venture to say that their eyes were opened, but they were not expert third eye, masters. They were opened because of the energy of Christ.
Probably
helping, opening their
eyes.
There were not,
Indeed, in readings, thousands of times in doing a reading with somebody,
their eyes are open.
Conducted their eye to be opened, and they've experienced astral sight during that encounter, during that process.
So someone who's very well skilled in the third eye can help to open someone else's third eye.
Yeah, certainly. And then people can just do it on their own if they breathe and do it right and kind of simple instructions. So we have this element that we have to think, well, what is the content of our soul? Well, how much karma do we have? And when the soul leaves the body to go traveling, wherever that dimension may be, what kind of energies is that soul going to encounter? Is it going to slip into a past life and revisit the energy of that past life? Is it going to slip maybe into the future and see the future? The time element out there is very, it merges, it melts. The time scheme is like very Einsteinish. It's all convoluted in a sense, but it does still have its distinct energy levels, just like an ocean has its distinct energy levels of depth and life and molecules and what exists on certain levels of the ocean and the temperature. Well, the astral realm has its own elements and divisions of energy. We talk about divisions. You were talking about divisions, Kristen, about how the body is divided. The astral realm has divisions. So you can go into a past life, you can go into the future, you can go into the present, you can go to another planet. There's all kinds of ways to work with energy. You can go into a realm where you talk to a spirit or a guide or an angel. You can go to what they consider to be the Hall of Records. You can go to a big conference room where other souls that are astral projecting all meet in a common area, and they're being instructed by a higher being in terms of how to conduct a physical life.
Yeah, we just had that with a client.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, especially if you have dreams where you encounter people you've never seen before. A psychologist or a neurologist may just say, oh, you're just collecting faces that you pass by in the street and your brain records it and then it releases it at night, and there's a random order of a plot going on in your brain at night. our contention is that that can often lead to encountering souls from other lifetimes, maybe the same lifetime you're in, where souls sort of congregate in one place, like a big convention. Do we have a caller?
We do have a caller.
Yeah.
I'm just writing, sorry, writing the number down, then I'll bring this person on. Hi.
Hello, it's Nathaniel. How you doing?
Yeah, I knew that was you. How are you, Nathaniel? 5157, 2810-1. Okay.
Okay, that's it.
All right. How's everything going?
Pretty good. I've been taking this wonderful career survey, career exploration workshop.
Oh.
And so it's been like 7 hours a day and stuff. And I've just applied for a job at Sprouts. I like going into the organic
really?
Store. And I
they
had an interview at one. What's that?
They have Sprouts in you're like near Sacramento. I didn't know there was Sprouts.
Yeah, it's in the North Natoma store. I have an interview at 1 o'clock today. So I've been working as a security guard at Smart Guard. And kind of like the Sprouts. I guess I'm going to be applying for a grocery clerk, or I saw they had a meat and seafood clerk. So, I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure. I kind of like the meat and seafood clerk maybe better, but I don't really know.
I mean, do they require experience to work in the butcher department? I mean, I imagine that
I'm not sure. I'm not exactly, I do have some experience. I'm kind of fudging in. The most experience I have recently, was, of course, a security guard. But, I do have a lot of experience, some things. Not, maybe not a lot of experience. But hopefully, they'll offer me something. And, I've been doing the security guard, and it's pretty easy in a lot of places, but it seems to be sporadic, and they're not offering me a lot of hours right now. I work here and there, and I'm still trying to collect EDD and some money I have in there, so I'll see how that goes. But I've been living with my brother, and it's been quite challenging.
Oh, why?
What?
Go ahead. Tell us why.
It's been challenging.
In what regard? Are you having problems getting along?
Well, staying there, he seems to be quite a control freak. He has one of the Ring doorbells, and then he has one in the kitchen and everything, so he comes on the announcer, And he's an inspector, so electrical inspector, but he seems to inspect everything. And, his new Chinese wife seems to be quite critical and stuff and quarrelsome. And, he was doing the vegetables. She cooks really good Chinese. And my brother, was in it too, because I experienced helping her make the vegetables. And then he walked in, and she's quite the micromanager of things, I suppose. But, so I'm kind of challenged, and I still have some credit card debt and whatnot. But I'm moving into a new birthday here, and in about 10 days or so, so
sure.
I'll be moving on to my 62 cycle on May 1st, so
Go yearly because you're a 2810-1, so you have cycles of one, so it's more frequent than someone who's, say, like an 8, like our previous caller, but because the cycles go in 8-year segments from birth to death, as well as from the the time of the karmic number, but also you have cycles of 10, but you're not on a cycle of 10 right now, but you're having a new cycle because of the age of 62. What's your brother's birthday, Nathaniel?
He's a 6/9/53.
I think we got the birthday a long time ago. You've talked about him before.
Yeah.
And interesting because you're the 6/9 is 15, which is your inverted month and day, 5/1. 16, 15, 25, 33, 6. So are you planning on staying with your brother? I mean, are you paying rent?
Well, I did pay him $500 recently, but I haven't paid, all year. He had gotten well, laid off from his other job, and he was waiting for some of his EDD money, and it kicked in. So, you know, I'm keeping it. But his wife is going back to China on like May 3rd or something indefinitely. I guess she has some, you know, private legal matters with her family to take care of. So I don't know what that's all about. And my brother's looking for other work. He said he got a six-figure offer in Texas somewhere.
Oh.
So I might be the only one there. So I don't know.
Oh, he would keep the house? He would keep the house?
Well, yeah, he bought the house. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to sell it, but it's just kind of a sporadic electrical inspector job, you know, not permanent, but maybe for a few months, I'm not sure. So, and then she's going back to China, you know, for indefinitely, and she...
Sounds like there's...
So,
Nathaniel,
Nathaniel,
I want to ask you a couple quick questions. Do you know how to work a cash register? Do you know about the codes in grocery? Do you have... what experience do you have to bring before you even enter the job?
You know, I have gone to a lot of organic stores, so I know there's a lot of codes. You know, I'm certainly willing to learn. And,
so you don't,
you've never
really worked in the grocery field where you're punching in codes? I mean, you can, I think they train cashiers.
Sprouts, grocery market.
Pretty good
with
numbers, though, I think. So I'm just trying to be optimistic, and,
I have no reason.
Grocery,
you know, grocery stores are pretty hungry for work. There's a lot of turnover. You can learn pretty quick on the job. You're intelligent, Nathaniel. So they probably would start you off. They might put you in the stock room. There's different ways. I wouldn't, you know, the meat and fish department might be too specialized right now. I mean, they could have you start training there. But ultimately, you're going to be, if you're going to be working there, you're going to be doing work in the back.
Yeah.
You know, you're just not going to be sitting there looking at fish in the show.
Well,
the showcase.
I mean, they, you know, people come up to the counter and want them to weigh, but
I
usually you have to do both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're either going to be working in accounting or in some kind of back room figuration of finances, or
are there positions open?
Bagging, starting off bagging.
There's 48 positions open for something, and then there's one managerial position when I went on. So I just went on and filled out the application yesterday, and here at the workshop, I made a specialized resume for it. I altered my resume, and I altered the cover letter that I had made out for security.
Okay, well, you know, in the rough draft prediction, I think you're going to be working at Sprouts. But again, it's rough draft. It's a rough draft prediction, but rough draft. So I think Sprouts sounds, there's so many different areas you could be working in. You know, if you like the supermarket and you enjoy working there and you want to get your feet wet and just experience being part of the team, and you say that, and you want to learn, and you're eager, and you'll do cashier, and you'll do anything. You want to work in the, you want to become part of the family. You know, you use these words. I think management kind of considers, okay, you're coming in. We've got so many different ways we could utilize your talents or your capabilities of learning, and we'll fit you in. So I think if you're eager and you establish some sense of permanency in what you want to do, and this is what you want to, you know, you're not considering drifting, that you want to learn it and ultimately, you know, maybe be a cashier, maybe work in a specialized department, but you want to be part of the Sprouts team. That's how you speak. And I think they're going to go, okay, because, you know, supermarkets are so open to having people come in. I mean,
there's a lot of turnover.
Need, yeah. So, and there's so many different ways you can work. So, you know, the only disadvantage is your age a little bit, but to tell you the truth, that might be to your advantage too, because it might allow them some sense of permanency.
I guess the only concern that I have, and we've got about one more minute on the show left, but the fact that your brother might be taking a position in Texas, and that even though he bought this new house, that it's possible that he may not keep it. And I don't know.
What would you do?
There's
a senior apartment just about a half mile away called Early Creek, and they've already accepted. I've been on the waiting list there, and I can get
really?
A one-bedroom for only $861.
Oh, wow.
I'm already on the waiting list to get a garage there.
Yeah.
So that was one of the reasons why I kind of applied there.
But that's
because it was so close, and
I like the stores so much compared to.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you were already planning on leaving your brothers anyway. This is not a permanent situation.
Yes. I still have some credit card debt, but I may, you know, be there to watch the house because there may be no one there.
Well,
so
if not, I mean, hopefully you will be able to.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be nice.
Let's consider the path
autonomy.
That you're maybe going to be working at Sprouts. Let's consider that at least. And you'll be staying at your brother's place until you have that option of moving into the senior living or whatever that is. So we'll go
Early
with that,
Creek.
Nathaniel.
Yeah, let us know, Nathaniel. Yeah. We got to close.
Great.
Thank you so much. For now. You're so welcome.
Well,
you're so welcome.
Happy Easter to you both, man. Bye-bye.
Thank
you.
Happy Easter, Nathaniel. Okay, we're out of time. So we will be back next week with a new discussion topic and hopefully lots of calls from all of you. Have a great weekend. Happy Easter. Bye.